Advent. There's many Advent themes, and that's one of them. And I thought that it might be interesting. I'm hoping you do too. So here we go. Today I want to talk about race. And then next week I want to talk about hunger. And the week after that I want to talk about repentance. And then the final week of Advent about reconciliation. And that's where we're going. And today I want to give you a few handles for how those of us who follow Jesus seek after justice. Because that's us. That's who we are. And there's some things about that that are very, very important. So as I was preparing this, I remembered meeting Pastor Benjamin Smith. I've mentioned him to you from time to time at Deliverance Evangelistic Church in Philadelphia, where we did some ministry back in the 90s. And we wanted to go meet him. Those of us who were running that ministry, we wanted to go meet him. Is the largest church, as you may recall, in Philadelphia, perhaps up and down the East Coast, more than 10,000 people every Sunday showing up. A huge facility, as you could imagine, and many, many things going on. And there was an awful lot that we felt we could learn from Pastor Smith. And we wanted to be with him in his church. And we wanted to engage with God along with the members of his church as they gathered for worship, which we did. And there was, you know, incredible things that went on. Some of them I've shared with you. And I don't want to get off into that because I will just keep going with the incredible things that happened in that relationship. Yeah, we were welcomed with open arms. And this, of course, was a black church. It was just African-American, North Philadelphia, black, Pentecostal, independent church. And they just welcomed us with open arms, just wonderfully and beautifully. Not because we were special, it's just because that's the way that they are. I mean, you go to church there on a Sunday, as maybe some of you have, if you've gone to any historically black church, and you get God blessed more than you've ever been in your whole life. You know, people say, God bless you, God bless you. That's right. Just incredibly wonderful. We wanted to see two things during that ministry time, which lasted a few months. Every night for a few months we were there. We wanted to see the powerful renewal of the church and have it just permeate everywhere. And we wanted to see racial reconciliation. And we called that ministry Renewal and Reconciliation of Greater Philadelphia, so that the renewal of the church and racial reconciliation were equal in our goal and our pursuit, and we felt it was equal also in God's eyes as well. And you may recall that wonderful verse from Galatians, in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, and so forth, but just one in Christ. So those are the things that really motivated us for that. And that still informs me, and I'm sure there's things in your life that inform you about racial reconciliation. And one of the things we can probably agree on about this issue is that there's still a long way to go. There just is. No matter what angle you or others may come from, there's a ways to go with all this. In fact, anywhere in America that we go today, we'll be looking at race. One way or another, somewhere or another, somehow or another, it's going to be right there. And it just, all the time, that's what happens. In fact, where two or three people are gathered together, there'll be five opinions about race, some of them changing during the conversation, as you've probably experienced. And there are very, very strong feelings, as you know, from all angles, all groups, all points of view, all ideologies, and anything else you can think of. All kinds of very strong feelings about that. Now, the challenge for us, who follow Jesus, is this: what is God asking of us as in this situation to do to follow Jesus? How is God asking us to follow Jesus when it comes to race? So I'm going to give you a few ideas about that. As I mentioned, it's an Advent theme, looking for justice to keep breaking in as we await the return of Jesus. that's part of just our life of following Jesus. So the first question, I think, in seeking justice is this. Well, what exactly is justice? And so we need a description of justice which allows us to follow Jesus more than any other ideology, theology, way of thinking, or anything else. A description of justice in which we are following Jesus as the first priority above all others. That doesn't mean the others are wrong or that you shouldn't think about them or hold those positions or whatever it is. It's that the first priority for us is what is it to follow Jesus and seek justice. So today we'll look at that in the area of race. The words of Paul that we read just a minute ago, I think, fill the bill on what is a description of justice. What is it that allows us to follow Jesus in seeking justice more than any other ideology? And in the second paragraph of the reading to Thessalonians, the letter to Thessalonians, that second sentence says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another." That's a description of justice. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. So what I'm going to do today is unpack that a little bit. I'm going to give you some tools for how we might approach this. In fact, three tools in particular. I'm going to give you a framework for how to take up the promptings of the Spirit of God for justice. There's a framework that helps us catch that. And then an application of Paul's description of justice. That description of "may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all." And then a goal. There is a goal to which Jesus motivates us, equips us, and leads us. So it's a framework, an application, and a goal. When you get these, when you have hold of these, when these are the things that you are using, you are following after the path of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't use these and maybe you slip off the path or whatever, that you're kicked out of the kingdom of God. This is not the case. Or that you're unforgiven. That is not the case. What I'm saying is that to be specific and intentional about seeking justice, these are the three things that will be a tremendous help. The framework, the application, and the goal. Okay, so what's the framework? The framework is this. This is a framework for thinking about justice. Relief, association, and equity. Relief, association, and equity. So let me unpack those. Relief is this. It's helping people who are in dire need. And many of us right here in this room do this extremely well. If somebody's in need or hurting, we think of ways to meet that need. Sometimes individually, sometimes programmatically. But that's something that we do. We do it regularly. We never give it up. We don't hit every need, of course. But there are things we are continually doing to meet the needs of those who have needs. It's part of the pastoral gifting that most of us have right here. The food we donate, the Christmas Mother and other programs are all relief, and they are excellent. It's part of what God asks of us and empowers us to do. And I think it's absolutely wonderful because I know if I needed relief and somebody gave me relief, I'd be very thankful. I wouldn't be asking them, what's the apostolic step you're taking here? None of that. I need relief. And when I get it, it's great. And when we provide that, it's great. So that's the first kind of area of seeking justice, is people in need get what they need. Now, there's another area of justice. And I like to call that association. An association is discovering encouraging and getting together to make the neighborhood or the group that we're in a stronger place with better relationships. You have to associate to do that. That's why I like to call it association. When that's happening, let's say it's your neighborhood. For those of you who have like discernible neighborhoods, we have a neighborhood. If you know your neighbors and you know their gifts and you know what they're willing to do and to share and how they might be able to do it, and you're willing and able to do the same, and you do that regularly, what happens? The quality of the relational quality of the neighborhood obviously goes up. The health of people goes up. If you're in a high crime neighborhood, the crime rate goes down from association. It doesn't mean all these things, you know, health rate becomes so that nobody ever gets sick or the crime rate goes down so there's not ever any crime, but it changes significantly with associations, with encouraging each other's gifts, seeing what the assets are, not just the needs, but the assets, and pursuing that, encouraging that, running after that, seeing that happen is a pursuit of justice. To go into a neighborhood, for example, that is not economically stable, and to identify the gifts and assets of the people there so that they can share that with each other will raise the status and the abilities and the health of that neighborhood. That's a pursuit of justice. And that can happen around here in different ways, or in the general Richmond area. Now, not as many of us are in tune with that, but some of us are. So just keep that right there. Keep that on the shelf. We're going to bring that out in just a minute, along with relief. And because I want to look at the third part of seeking after justice, and that's equity. Equity, as you probably know quite well, is addressing the systemic issues in our culture that keep things unequal, unfair, or unjust. In the area of race, we hear about this. Now, I think all of us here would say that we do not wish any harm of any kind for any person of color, any black person, any Asian person, any Latino person, that we personally just don't want that at all. We want to see everyone have a chance, or however we may describe it. But we unknowingly, and I am including myself in this, I am not exempt, we may unknowingly and without intention perpetuate some things that make it difficult for people of color, black people, Asians, Latino, whoever it may be. There may be something in the culture, in the way that we have done things for years or perhaps even generations that we have not seen, that keeps things unjust. I've shared with you in the past the issue of transportation. If somebody, even in Goochland, lives in a neighborhood that is economically very poor, and that family is not able to buy a car, cannot get transportation, that family is not going to be able to get to work. There's something going on that keeps that situation going, even though we personally don't want that family to suffer. So we might help them out in one way or another, Christmas mother, whatever it might be, and that'll be fine. But that system, that dynamic is still at play. That's where the approach of equity comes in. Is there something we could do that might address that dynamic so that that situation no longer exists in that area or amongst those people? That's something that we might pursue. It's part of the first song we sang today in the Song of Mary, which part of it is about equity. Equity means that anything that keeps any group of people in a position that they cannot have what everyone else has needs to be exposed and changed so that there is liberty and justice for all. Now keep in mind, we may need to pay attention to that in some very specific and intentional ways, but it does not mean that you or I personally want to see anybody without. It's just taking note of what is the situation that perpetuates that. So that's justice. That's the framework of justice: relief, association, and equity. And among our congregation, there are people who desire to see at least one of those succeed. There are people who want to see relief go well. There are people who want to see association go well. And there are people who want to see equity go well. Sitting right here this morning. What that means is that a church, to become the community that Jesus calls it to be, finds a way for all three to function and bear fruit. So if you're really pursuing relief and you can't quite catch association and you don't quite grasp equity, you know, what's the systemic stuff? You don't quite get that. What you can take faith in and trust in is that there's other people who come to the same table as you do and that you want them to succeed in what they want to pursue so that the whole church can be pursuing justice. Let's go in a little further. I mean, you might have some questions about this, which would be great. I think it'd be great. Let's go in a little further. And because I promised you a description of Paul's description of justice. Abounding in love for each other and for all. Paul says this is justice. Our abounding love for each other and all means that we seek the betterment of all, the encouragement of all, the same opportunity for all. Now, the same dynamic applies. I don't think any of us would say, well, there are some people I don't want to have an equal opportunity for. Personally, my personal belief is that these people or this one or those guys over there, no way. But everybody else I'm fine with. We wouldn't say that. No, none of us would say that. But the question comes up, are we able to be abounding in love for each other and abounding in love for all if there is something that needs to shift so that all have that opportunity? And if I can't see how that works, somebody coming to this table does. And if somebody coming to this table does not have what it works, somebody in this diocese does. And we can support, encourage, uphold, pray for each other so that together we can seek justice. Okay? One more. The goal. What's our goal? Our goal is not to make sure that everyone agrees with our own view of things. As absolutely excellent as that would be, that is not our goal. Because we don't even agree with ourselves. In fact, you probably don't agree with yourself sometimes. We're just not going to get there. We change our minds about things, all kinds of things like that. Our goal is not even to win arguments by having the best articulation of our position. In fact, we who follow Jesus do not use arguments and philosophies to fight against others. We don't take one position or another, form it into a baseball bat, and beat others over the head with it. May I suggest that that's not following Jesus? In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus breaks down the philosophies of the world. Our goal is to keep developing a healing, reconciling community of the people of God. It is to recognize that we are being formed by Jesus and that Jesus does not want someone to be hungry or sick or kept oppressed, or whatever it may be, that Jesus doesn't want that. So we seek after relief. Or that Jesus doesn't want people to be in a situation where they are not able to share the gifts and assets that he has given them. Because that's one of the ways that neighborhoods build up. And as you know, it's one of the ways churches build up, by sharing the assets that each other has. And that Jesus doesn't want things to go on where one group of people cannot break out of a system. Individuals from that group certainly can. You know, and at that point, we don't take different ideologies about the systems and use them as for defense or for offense, for beating each other on the head to make our point. At that point, what we do is say, Jesus, make us, this church, the place where there is no more hunger, no more crying, no more disregarding of people's gifts and assets. And that the people who are a part of this fellowship that you sent here, that we do the best for them to have every opportunity that they could possibly have. Now, I don't know about you, but that's stretching me. And I'll bet it's stretching you too, in one way or another. You may be thinking, well, people who are in need, maybe there's something wrong over there and they need to straighten up a little bit. Not that you would say that out loud. Or maybe you're thinking, well, this group over here, they're a little off. I don't know. Somebody needs to go in and do something, straighten them out. Or maybe it's easy to think, yes, there's been systems in our culture that keep people oppressed, but that was before, and this is now. Yes, it is now. It is now. I think one of the best ways to think about that is this. Think about your family, if you don't mind. And if there have been generations, you know, if you were to map out your family a few generations back, you start seeing patterns in that family system. And those patterns keep repeating. Maybe not in you personally, but somewhere. What dysfunctions, illnesses, addictions, whatever it may be, there's a repetition of that. And it's not because you wanted it, or you chose it, or you think anybody in your family needs to be straightened up. Well, maybe you do, but you wouldn't think about that right away. It's that there's a pattern repeating in your family and in cultures. Patterns repeat until those who follow Jesus say, we want to be part of a community that is healing and reconciling and extending the kingdom of God. That's our goal. And your part of it might be relief. Your part of it might be association. Your part of it might be equity. But it's together with all of those that things start to move. And we start moving towards the goal of Jesus, where all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord in Christ. Now, that's a brief introduction, I think, to how we follow Jesus with race. There's a lot more, as you know, from all kinds of news stories and reading and discussions and all kinds of other things. But I want you to have those three things: the framework, the application, and the goal. And as always, if you would take some time, either today, during the week, what is Jesus telling you about race? I'm not asking you what other people are telling you about race. What is Jesus telling you about race? Because he's the one we follow. And I'd be happy to share any of that with you at any time. I would look forward to that. Just as I grew tremendously in my relationship with Pastor Smith, so I look to grow tremendously with you as well. Would you please stand?